The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your hosts for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Hi, Insiders. It's Keith Koo, your host, and thank you and once again for tuning in. This is actually our first video production, so thank you very much for being with us. Today in the studio, I have Leo Kahn, who's the VP of Marketing and Communications for the very first real estate marketplace for cryptocurrency, Propy, and that's P-R-O-P-Y. And Leo, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
So, Leo, your background is in coming out of some very large established enterprises such as IBM Watson, Cardmetrics. What made you really get into what's really the blockchain space?
Sure. A little bit of a correction. Cormetrics, right? Not Cardmetrics. So Cormetrics was one of the first web analytics company, and it got bought by IBM. So
oh, yes.
just a little clarification there. Yeah, blockchain is phenomenal, right? It's so fascinating. My background before Propy was in the marketplace, but was not on the blockchain. And more you hear about it, the more and more intrigued you get about blockchain, and you're like, hey, what is this? I want to be involved with cryptocurrencies. I want to be involved with the blockchain space, and how do you decentralize everything, right? We don't want, people, let's just say, let's tech people, right? One company controlling everything. Let's just put it on the internet, right? So that was my personal philosophy, and I looked at Propy, and Propy found me, so it was like a perfect marriage, and that's how we came about. And personally, I love real estate. And where you can find your personal interest with a special technology that is so cutting edge and, basically on the future bandwagon, I was sold, right? And I knew that this was the right job for me.
How old is Propy?
So Propy is about a year and a half, coming up on a little over 2 years, since the inception days. But I would say year and a half, yeah, since we've been in business.
Yeah, what's unique about Propy for us is that you hear a lot right now about ICOs, initial coin offerings. We've done shows on off the blockchain with Park and DeBage. We had talked about introduction to the blockchain. We had talked on a show called PolySwarm, mm-hmm. Disrupting Threat Intelligence, a company that had planned to go ICO in the United States, and they had stopped their ICO and instead ICO'd in Japan. What's unique for you is you're fully ICO'd. You've already raised all your funding from that, and now you're actually an active marketplace.
Sure, correct. And I can tell you the history of our ICO, like why did we decide to go ICO? And so Natalia, our founder, she's been doing real estate pretty much all her life. She started her first company when she was 19. So she gave up a very lucrative business in Sofia, Bulgaria, and she moved to Silicon Valley. She had this great idea about selling real estate, cross-border real estate, right? Because a lot of the investors are coming in from Middle East, from China, and other countries, right, who have money and they buy real estate in the U.S. But the process is just so broken. There's no easy way to do it. Long story short, she came to the U.S., tried to raise money old-fashioned way with VCs on Sand Hill Road and so forth, and nobody really believed in the project, to be honest with you, right? So they all said that, hey, come back when you have a couple of million dollars ARR, and then we'll look at it and whatnot. At that point, you don't even need money. So we looked at the ICO route, and the market was just perfect for us at that point in time. We did our ICO in September of 2017, we decided to do it. And lo and behold, our ICO was $15.5 million at that point that we raised. And then we all know the price of Bitcoin went up. It was sitting around $19,000 at one point. And I think at that point, we had $50 million in the bank. We still have about around that. So
no, it's great timing, and it's something that I'd like to talk about more in further down in the show. One thing I did want to bring up is, by coincidence, although there's really no coincidences in this world, Natalia Karineva, your founder and CEO, she was at a blockchain forum that I attended yesterday, and she was the panelist. And so beyond Natalia being the founder of Propi, she's also herself an investor. She does lots of advice on ICOs and startups or blockchain startups. And she just basically reiterated kind of the formula for today's companies who want to mm-hmm. become the next Propi, right? I mean, she had a really good outline of investors now will want, like VCs, you better have your own $500,000 in cash to start up your business. You have to have a community on Telegram, the what's going to become the blockchain instant messenger de facto standard of 25,000 to 50,000 community members. And then you can start, said if you had all those pieces, your technology is good, and your tokenomics, another term we'll talk about later in the show, mm-hmm. then you can think about getting some real money somewhere, you know, between 5 and 15 million, but not until you have all those elements. I thought it was really helpful that she went through that detail in this forum. I'm going to talk a little bit about some tech news. So last week, we had the founder and CEO of Overclock, Greg Osuri, on, mm-hmm. and we had talked about some of the things happening. Tesla had a crypto mining hack where their servers were being utilized. And these are, people think of these as like kind of advanced hacks. So when I talk about Steve Wozniak, who got his Bitcoin stolen last week, that was not, you know, really a sophisticated hack. That was simply Steve trusting somebody else. Now, again, they said he lost $70,000 worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah. It's like, no biggie doing. By the way, I've met Steve a few times. We went to dinner and stuff.
Oh, right.
Wozniak, yeah.
Well, actually, let me go to a different story. Yeah, I'll tell my Steve story when we get back. But in terms of the tech news, it's just funny because he got his Bitcoin stolen, and he said it's because he had trusted somebody and didn't verify the credit card. So this is like not a sophisticated theft
right.
at all.
Right.
Another story in the news is back to when people think of blockchain or cryptocurrency and the value. You just mentioned how Bitcoin was at $19,000 or $20,000. Mm-hmm. Iceland, there was a $2 million heist of cryptocurrency mining equipment.
Hmm.
And the funny story there is people who don't understand what they're doing, they think they're buying a bunch of miners. Cryptocurrency miners are very high-end computers. When you turn them on, they spike. It's kind of easy to find their energy signature, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. again, people who are not thinking really things through. And then on a more serious note of technical news, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, last week they issued out, it's an anonymous dragnet of folks, but about 80 individuals, enterprises, investors, they kind of cast a wide net in looking after crypto investors.
Mm-hmm.
And that ties into this week, the SEC announced that most online trading platforms are not, in fact, SEC registered, and that people trading in cryptocurrencies, even in the United States, are assuming a huge amount of risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the looming questions as well, right? So some of the companies who've done ICOs, right, especially here in the U.S., people are saying that you're in the securities business, right, because you're issuing tokens. And I don't want to get too much into that detail. Obviously, not my domain, but yeah, I mean, companies are looking over their shoulders. What's going to happen, right? So we've taken money, and what's the next step? So it's all kind of like up in the air. So. It could be scary at one point, right? And you don't want these guys to be knocking on your door, right?
Right. And that's really where our consulting firm, Guardian Insight, comes in. We do a lot of advisory, and we're really the bridge between attorneys and accountants and
right.
the companies thinking through this is that they always – there's a theme in the startup world, especially around blockchain and other what we say emerging technologies, so mm-hmm. IoT, cannabis before the government cracked down on that. That people are smarter than the government, not understanding that regulations are more of a framework,
sure.
and that they're not really checking each individual point. They're basically saying our regulations here to protect investors, consumers. So companies are really losing sight of that. But this is going to be a really great further topics to speak on in the next couple of segments. Again, you're listening to Silicon Valley Insider. Today it's Keith Koo and my guest Leo Kahn of Propi. And actually, Propi will be one of the featured sponsors of the 2018 San Jose Smart City Conference, which I am the MC of. And just really exciting again to have Proppy, which is the very first cryptocurrency real estate marketplace online. So we'll be right back. Email us at info@svin.biz.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. And today I'm joined with the VP of Marketing and Communications for Proppy, which is the first real estate marketplace using cryptocurrency. Leo Kahn, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So that is time for to answer our weekly mail question. So this is interesting. Leo, a executive, asked me, why isn't it that we hear much about enterprise blockchain projects? So we hear a lot about what we say. You mentioned in the first segment what decentralized is, the decentralized platform that you can do business on smart contracts and bring things back and forth. Why haven't we heard much about enterprise blockchain projects?
I think there are enterprise blockchain projects. If you look at IBM, one of my former employers, I used to work there, they have blockchain as a service, right? So they are actually enabling you where you can transform your company and be on the blockchain. I think the adoption is a little bit slow. Startups are always going to be much more nimble and faster, and we just quickly see the trends in the market and what needs to be done, and we can pivot real quick, right? So with the companies like of the size of an IBM or Oracle or Cisco, for example, they're all trying to come into the blockchain space, but they're a little slow than the rest of us. But I hear great use cases. So for example, Walmart is a great use case. They are trying to put all of their logistics business on the blockchain, right? And decrease time of their shipments and understand where each and every single truck is going to be or their shipment is going to be around the country. So I think these are some great use cases, but it's going to take time for them, in my opinion, to jump on the bandwagon real quick.
No, I agree with you. And I think I have my own theory too, right? So I think back to what you said, IBM has Hyperledger.
Sure.
I think what happens is with blockchain in particular, back to decentralized and open, it's very typical for these enterprises to say, hey, we hear about blockchain. Let's go do it ourselves. We're going to create our own chains.
Mm-hmm.
IBM created Hyperledger. I had heard Oracle actually is partnering on the Hyperledger as well. But that is seen as by some as a kind of a hybrid or closed system, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think where a lot of projects have failed, it was more of a, we're going to create a blockchain just because, or because we have to say we have a solution.
Right.
But to the point you were making, you were talking about Walmart. We had a company on in one of our earlier shows, Blockchain Basic and Smart Contracts. They were actually in pilot with Amazon, with Walmart on logistics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're a blockchain company. So I think we're going to see a lot of happening. I heard that 2018 is going to be the year that enterprises really wake up. We're going to see whether they do something similar to using IBM or they're actually going to go to the public blockchain.
Right. It kind of reminds me when I was in the SaaS business, software as a subscription as a service, back to the core metrics days, where Salesforce came up as the poster child of the SaaS business. And Larry Ellison was on the record saying that SaaS is going to die and who's going to buy subscription services, right? So it's all about on-prem services. And lo and behold, right? So now Oracle wants to be the number one cloud company on the planet,
exactly.
Right? Not to hate on Oracle or anything like that, but they were a little slow in adapting that change. I think we're seeing the same trend with blockchain as well. So so they're going to come along.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the funny anecdote that not everyone knows is that Larry actually hedged by being one of the largest and still largest shareholders of Salesforce.
Sure.
So, yeah. So thanks again. That was a really good email question. For anyone who's got a question for us, just send it to us at info@svin.biz. So, Leo, one of the things we talked about, we enterprises are struggling. They're trying to figure out how to do blockchain itself.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought was interesting is a study was released that over 57% of all ICO projects in 2017, and there were over 900, those are all dead. And those are completely dead. And there's some that are on life support. What's unique back to Proppy, the company you're representing, you didn't have any of those problems. You actually did a successful ICO, and now you're post that. So what do you think the secret to that is?
Yeah, I think the secret is the team. bottom line, right? So we have a set of people who know actually what they're doing, right? That's the most important part. We have the right set of advisors and the people who are basically executioners, right? Most of the problem is that everybody wants to do an ICO because they're so much into the hype. And some of these investors could be novice investors. They don't know. They love the idea. They fell in love with the idea that, hey, this is a great idea. I'm going to fund it and it's going to become into this billion-dollar company. You know, they're banking their hopes on that. But they don't have the right team, so they go and fail, right? Either they don't have the right technologists, right? And they don't know how to go and build the technology. So I think those are some of the downfalls of, you know, looking into an ICO. So on the other side, Proppy was just not doing an ICO. We were already in this business for years and years. Like I said, Natalia, she started the business since she was, you know, 19, and she has over 30 years of experience in the real estate business. We have one of the best security people on board who understands how to build the technology, how to build the transaction platform, and make sure your currencies are going to be safe and secure, whether it's Ether, Bitcoin, or good old-fashioned USD, right? So I think that what made us really successful, it's the team. And also, you know, take no for an answer. Really go and build this technology from the ground up and make it so, you know, not just scalable, but safe and secure for you and easy to use as well. So I think those are some of the components of us being successful.
Yeah, I think that's a good recipe. And we talked about in the first segment, Natalia's own advice, and she was at that forum yesterday, of how ICO startups should be thinking about, we shouldn't say ICO startups, blockchain startups should be thinking about how to be successful in the space. I get 15 white papers a day now from all types of blockchain startups. And, you know, one thing, back to how I approach my own advice I give to companies, is that if you, beyond technology, because blockchain, the technology has been around for 40 years.
Right.
Decentralized computing, cryptographics, it's how your use case is going to work. And then, is there utility in what you're doing? And beyond that, do you have a community? And what I'd like to talk about a lot in later on in the show is the tokenomics of it, right? Mm-hmm. So for Proppy, what actual parts of real estate you're solving for? I want to make sure we know that it's not, you can't get a mortgage from Proppy.
Not as of today, no. So we are an online marketplace, right, where buyers and sellers come together and they can, you know, come to an agreement on what the price of that property is going to be and how they're going to take that payment, right? So like I said, Ether, Bitcoin, USD. But the use case is very simple. Most of the buyers here in the US are foreign buyers, right? Whether people coming from China, people coming from Middle East and other parts of the world, this is just a fact, right? We're not making this up. The common use case is most of the real estate platforms are really localized for today's market, right? We can talk about the Zillows and the Redfins and so forth. Cross-border, that's where we really shine as Proppy, right? So we set out to build this business. So let's say if you are sitting in China, right, in Beijing, and you want to buy a property in San Francisco, we can automate all that process for you, right? So without hiring local brokers and searching for different banks who are going to give you loans and so forth, right? And let's say if you even have Bitcoin sitting there, that's even better, right? So you can just do a transaction over there. So cross-border transactions are, let me go down and give you a little bit much more example of our use case. Our first transaction ever was done between US and Ukraine. So actually, one of the co-founders of TechCrunch, Michael
Arrington.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. He bought a property in Kiev, Ukraine. And that transaction was done in 13 hours. Now, I don't know if you've bought a house before, but it takes days, at least a month or even more than 15 days. You'd be lucky if you can close that transaction, right? We were able to do that in 13 hours. And why 13 hours? Because the seller was actually on the plane from Kiev to New York. So he was coming here for a vacation and he didn't check his messages. Yeah. And the moment he landed, he saw that, you know, the transaction is pending, and he just completed the transaction.
Yeah, Leo, thanks. I mean, that's a really exciting, talking about the first use of Proppy from in Kiev, Ukraine. So hold on, because we have a lot more to talk about in our next segment.
Sure.
If you want to find out more about Proppy, just email us at info@svin.biz.
Or go to proppy.com.
And we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and I'm joined today by Proppy VP of Marketing, Leo Kahn. Thanks again, Leo, for being here.
Thanks for having me again.
So today's show has been all about Proppy and how you're the first marketplace for cryptocurrency for real estate transactions.
On the blockchain, yes.
On the blockchain, absolutely, yes, on the blockchain. And before we get into that, we had mentioned in the first segment, so we shouldn't let our listeners and viewers hanging, about your Steve Wozniak story.
Yeah, so I've met him a couple of times, had dinner with him as well, so great guy. And just randomly, I was coming in from Miami to San Francisco, and he happened to be on the flight, and actually he was sitting next to me. So that was great as well. So we had a lot of conversations. And maybe I have actually a picture of him as well, so I don't know if I shared that with you. But yeah, great guy, and here we are.
So, yeah, that's great.
Steve Wozniak, yeah. So great guy, yeah.
Yeah, so my Steve Wozniak story, and the reason why I'm bringing it up is in the early part of the show, we talked about how Steve had his Bitcoin stolen on a false credit card transaction, and people are going to think, how can a very wealthy man, very powerful man like Steve Wozniak have $70,000 worth of Bitcoin stolen? And the story there is simply this. I was at a charity event with Steve. And in the San Jose Conference Center parking lot, there was a nice man holding up the line on how to figure out how to get out of the garage. He had never paid for a parking parking garage through before ever. And so I actually helped him do that. And at first he's like, oh, I can figure it out. I can figure it out. And so my photos, which I'll make available, is me actually helping Steve use a credit card machine in a parking garage.
Wow. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. So what I want to know is how he's never paid for parking.
He probably had somebody pay his parking, right?
Okay.
And I'm thinking now with all – and this is probably 7 or 8 years ago. So now, I mean, with the ability to pay with your phone.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, the other story was at the time – this has got to be a while ago. It was before the first white iPhone.
Got it.
And Wozniak was the first to create a white iPhone. He went to China, got the parts, and he built his own white iPhone case.
Got it. So I think that was iPhone 4 that you're talking about, because when the iPhone 3G came out, they didn't have the white iPhones.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So iPhone 4.
Yeah, we're digging back in history. But anyway, back to Proppy. We were talking about the use case, right? So it's a revolutionary way to do real estate transactions. Right now it's title. Mm-hmm. And that the where you really shine is in cross-border transactions. Why don't you walk us through what that looks like?
Sure, absolutely. So today, in simple 9 steps, I kid you not, right? In 9 clicks, literally buy a property around the globe. And it's not that you, as of today, we have over 150,000 listings on the platform. So if you go to proppy.com, you can see properties in New York, in Miami, in Dubai, in Auckland, New Zealand, Australia, China, all over the world. We have literally amazing properties with different price ranges, right? So you can start from $50,000 to all the way to $5, $6, $10 million mansions, right? Find your best investment properties on proppy.com. So it takes 9 steps. Go in, sign up on the website. Literally type in the city that you're looking, the property that you're looking for, and search for those properties, and simply click on contact us or contact a seller, right? And that's it. You just go from there. And once you've opened a wallet, you've created a wallet, you can either change, pro tokens to buy those properties, or just simply connect your Bitcoin wallet and you're on your way and do a transaction. And behind the scenes, we are the ones who is doing the decentralization part of the title registries and making sure that it is legit with the local body government. And we file all the paperwork for you. So you don't have to get to the hassle of doing all of that. That's where the magic of Proppy is. So buy and sell unique homes all over the world in Bitcoin, Ethereum, and USD.
What was the journey like to get local governments to actually accept this as a platform?
In some governments, it's painful. In some local body governments, it's very easy. So, for example, Ukraine was one of the first governments ever to deploy this technology, nationwide. Then our second one was in Vermont. So I got to give really props to Vermont, right? They adopted. They said, "Hey, we want to be on blockchain. We want a decentralized title registration and deploy this technology statewide." And we actually did one transaction in Vermont as well. So there is just not a pilot. We've actually done a real transaction, and now we're getting a snowball effect, right? So other states are following suit. So there's Washington, there's California, right? So we have all these deals in the pipeline that they're definitely going to close real soon. And now there are other states who are also contacting us, and they're saying, "Hey, what's going on? We heard about this. It's great news, right? We want to be a part of this as well." So like I said, it's just a snowball effect. Dubai, I was just there about 2 to 3 weeks ago, and the country of Dubai said that everything needs to be on blockchain by 2020. So that is an initiative that that they're doing countrywide, not just in real estate, but all over the place, right? So it's telecom, it's medical, it's shipping, right? It's airline, right? So the entire country wants to be on the blockchain, and Proppy and real estate is just one big part of it. So we're working with their governments as well.
No,
so,
I heard about the Dubai blockchain conference. It was like 35 countries that were there.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Yeah. I think. So I'm a trained commercial banker, right? I came out of Wells Fargo, and I know the difficulty in what you're doing. So it's great that states are just, you know, kind of reaching out and signing up, because it's not an easy process. I mean, I think all the paperwork involved with title registration, it's terrible. Because you had asked earlier if anybody's ever bought a home, you know, and done that.
Yeah, you know the pain, right? If you bought a house before, you know the pain. You have to go to your local body governments and wait for it, right? And the whole escrow system, right? 30-day close, 90-day close, and goes beyond that. So imagine if, we are shrinking that process in number of hours. I mean, our first transaction, as I mentioned, was 13 hours. And that too, when the other person was traveling around the world, right? We could technically do it in a couple of hours if we really wanted to. So that's the future of buying properties with Proppy. In a couple of hours, buyers and sellers, they come to an agreement on a price, and that's it. Boom, it's closed, right? Like I said, 9 steps. No more than that, I promise you guys.
No, and I think what you're talking about, Proppy being able to go from 13 hours to 2 hours, and something that takes days and days and weeks,
sure.
Right? I think this is we're entering into a topic I want to talk about. What it's called tokenomics, whether it's tokenomics or cryptonomics, this concept that beyond what most people think about is cryptocurrency. A lot of what happened at the end of 2017, people were very interested in blockchain for what a Bitcoin or Ether or something like that, what that was going to generate in terms of value, like a security. But to me, especially what we advise companies on, beyond what cryptocurrency is, it's actually the utility of blockchain, because what people hear, the sound bites, the things we've talked about on our show, it can take 8 minutes to do a Bitcoin transaction. And people are thinking, well, that's really slow because Visa can do, 50,000 transactions a second.
Sure.
But on the other hand, for real estate, this is a very good use case of why you would do something decentralized on a blockchain, because something that would take, again, days or weeks or even a month now takes hours, and that's a really good use case. One thing that I want to go further about in the concept of tokenomics, as companies want to invest in blockchain, there's a game theory involved in this. There's an incentive to do this. And I can imagine with the, let's not worry about the states of the United States so much at this point, but these foreign countries – you have to incent them to want to participate in this. So that was the most fascinating thing. I think Proppy just released on your blog this whole in-depth article, which we're not going to get into here, but it was the entire essence of this crypto economy or tokenomics about why you did what you did.
Yeah, the whole tokenization piece. And thanks for bringing that up, Keith. So where can you find it? It's blog.proppy.com. It's on our Medium account as well. We're not going to have the whole time to talk about that in this segment, but I strongly recommend you guys go and read about that, right? So that's where we're talking about that, how Proppy is going to give away 100 million tokens, right? And how we do it, actually. What's the process, right? Is there a magic formula to it? Yes, there is, right? And it's all laid out on our blog. So definitely go there and,
It literally hot off the presses. So yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So right now we're talking about Tidal. What's next in the life cycle for Proppy's roadmap?
Yeah. So one day we hope to be a peer-to-peer platform, right? Because currently we need to work with the local body governments, and that's just the way it is, and we're okay with that. There are some milestones that we need to reach. Right now, our biggest milestone was to come up with a transaction platform. So those transaction platforms are built for localized governments. So we did one for Vermont, we did one for Ukraine, and one for California is ready, and then slowly and maturely we're doing it for others as well. So people think that, transaction platform should be very simple, like a Stripe or a Bit, you know, Braintree, or PayPal, doesn't really work like that, right? So these are very complex processes where we make sure, like you brought up the Steve Wozniak example, right? So Bitcoin getting stolen. So we make sure that that doesn't happen to you, and it's a very seamless and safe and secure process for you. So that's what's the next milestone for us. And then transactions, I'll be really honest with you, right? So having a revenue mindset, it's basically going from, you know, two or three transactions being done to, you know, 200,000 transactions, right? So we want to do this pretty much on a daily basis.
Given that Proppy just brought that up, what are, if any, transaction barriers? Is there a scale limit or no?
It's not just really. No, no. There's not a scale limit. Like I said, I mean, there's multiple properties listed in the platform, from 50,000 to, you know, $5-10 million properties, right? So it's really up to you. What do you really want to buy? At the end of the day, we are a marketplace, and we're here to serve, you know, people. So we are in the people business, and what we want to do is we want to democratize home ownership. That's our mission. That's what we want to do.
All right. Well, thanks. Thank you. So in terms of my cyber tip of the week, right now you hear a lot about, I have two tips of the week. One is it's tax season, and there's a lot of phishing attacks, a lot of complex phishing attacks. So for that, we just simply recommend never click on anything. You ever get approached by a tax authority, IRS, your bank about a tax issue, just call them up, right? And the other one that's coming out again and again, and don't know why it always happens, is social media sharing. And so simply there, if you're going to be away from home, if you're going to be on vacation, you're going to be at a concert, just don't post about it until you're back. So otherwise, there's websites that talk about, like, rob my home or steal my house, right? So those are the tips of the week.
So Keith, Facebook is going to be really upset with you by saying this, that don't post your locations.
Don't post your locations while you're there.
So if you're not there, how are you going to post location? And then how are you going to let your friends know that you are, let's say, in France?
this is where, you know, run a VPN, do it anonymously under a different account, right? So anyway, thanks again for tuning in. This is Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo, special guest Leo Kahn of Proppy. And if you have any questions about what we've talked about so far, email us at info@svin.biz, and then you can go to proppy.com, P-R-O-P-Y.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll be right back and wrapping it up with Leo and Proppy.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I am your host, Keith Koo, and today I've been joined by special guest Leo Kahn, VP of Marketing at Proppy, the world's first real estate transaction company built on blockchain. So Leo, once again, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So today's show has really been about beyond cryptocurrency. Like, what is a really good use case for blockchain? And also beyond an ICO as well. Proppy is all of that. So Leo, thanks again. You've walked through what Proppy is, a decentralized marketplace for real estate. So simply being able to buy real estate all over the world using Bitcoin, fiat currency, or Ethereum.
Correct.
Or US dollars.
Yeah, and the whole process can be shorter than 13 hours, right? So hypothetically, 2 hours, 1 hour, it's really about how two people are sitting at the same time on the platform and completing that transaction. So our goal is to even be less than 30 minutes in the future. Who knows? Technically, it's absolutely possible.
Does it matter? Do you have more users engaged via the mobile app, or is it online platform?
Well, we know for a fact that we have more mobile users. The data is there, right? So our analytics shows that we have way much more mobile users than .com users, but doesn't really matter. I mean, at the end of the day, we're here to serve the same mission, whether it's on mobile or whether it's on .com, but we are definitely a mobile-first company.
What's involved with setting up an account on Proppy?
Yeah, just go sign up with your Facebook or just simply go in and give us your email and just sign up with your password, like the old school way. you can do a single sign-on, social registration, or just the old-fashioned way. So that's all you need, yeah.
Have there been enough analytics or transactions to see what user behavior is like? I mean, I'm really interested in how the buyers and sellers are interacting with each other.
Yeah, the stickiness is great on the website, right? So when they come to the website, they spend at least 15 minutes on the website, right? So, and for these 15 minutes, we can know the behavior of these users. They're looking at the properties, they're looking at the features, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, right? The square footage and all of that. We have all of that data, so we know what they're looking at, and also having a getting in touch with the seller as well and having those conversations on the platform. So that's where most of the time is spent. It's really, really around research and looking at these beautiful images of these homes that people have really posted. That's what piques their interest.
How many of the users are repeat users? I mean, is there like something akin to somebody with a high frequency number of transactions involved? Have they been one-offs, or have they been people that are coming back to the platform over and over again?
Yeah, they're definitely not one-offs. So the one-offs are usually, sometimes we do get bot traffic, and then we try to figure out that, okay, why did this traffic came in? And so those might be bots. Most of the users that come to our platforms are actually here to do the research and actually buy the properties. So the trend is the same users coming back for 3 to 5 times.
And then you were talking about Natalia and the team having a real estate background. Do you do anything in terms of marketing support of the property itself?
Sure. We do a lot of marketing, right? And that's what my job is. We spend a hefty amount of money on different type of platforms, right? So we have Facebook, we have Instagram for our ads and other places as well. And then we spend money in China. We have one of the biggest real estate companies that we work with is Lijiu and Sina, and then we post ads over there as well. So it's a big hefty spend. We are on Baidu, we are on Weibo, we are on WeChat, right? So Twitter, and not just the platforms over here that are available to us and around the world in America, but also localized platforms as well. So we're pretty much everywhere, and all of that is not free, right? So it all costs money for any company. So our spend is pretty heavy on the digital side.
That's great. And we talked off camera a little bit about competition. You have first mover advantage. What are things that Proppy will be doing to stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah, it's really about putting people first, right? And giving that customer support to people and making sure that the transactions are safe and secure and it's done in a timely fashion, right? And so there are no difficulties for you. So that's we're hoping for, and that's what we really thrive on. And also providing cutting edge technology, right? So currently we have 3 types of payments that we take: Ethereum, Bitcoin, and USD. So adding more currencies as well, and providing more localized support. That's what's in the future for us.
So Leo, we just have a couple minutes left. So thanks again for joining us today. I thought it was really, really educational on what Proppy is doing, being the first real estate transaction system on the blockchain where you can use, like you just said, Bitcoin, Ethereum, or fiat currency. In the U.S., we're using U.S. dollar. And I thought it's also really great that Proppy is going to be one of the lead sponsors of the 2018 San Jose Smart City Conference. I think it's going to be a great time to talk to a very international market of folks who are interested in municipalities and how cities and governments are working together and new innovative things that are happening in your space. So once again, today's show has been all about Proppy being that platform for real estate. We've talked about enterprise blockchain, and we're really thinking about where blockchain is headed in 2018 and beyond. So we've gotten past cryptocurrency, we've gotten past ICOs, We're now really into the what people really care about, the utility of this technology. And I truly believe it's going to revolutionize the next 20 years. So if you're a blockchain startup and you need help with your structure, your tokenomics or crypto economy, please give us an email at info@svin.biz and we'll be happy to help you out. So once again, thanks for tuning in. If you had any questions about today's show, email me at info@svin.biz. Also, if you have great ideas for a show, please let us know. We'll see you next week. Thanks again.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. For questions or comments on today's program or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.